Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we got a great show for you tonight.
Yes, we do.
The Vegas Golden Knights advance, retorts. Becky Hammon doubles down, and a couple Major League Baseball teams are heading in the wrong direction. But we'll begin today's show with the never-ending playoffs, but of the NBA. But good note, the New York Knicks, they will be heading to the NBA Finals for the first time in 27 years. You and I were freshmen in high school when they last were beaten by the Spurs in 1999. They recently swept the Cavs and now await the winner of OKC versus San Antonio. How do you like their chances as of right now?
You mean without Mitchell Robinson, who has a broken pinky?
That happened? I didn't even know that happened.
That just came through. Mitchell Robinson has a broken right pinky finger. And so it begins. I mean, if they're going to play like this, you have to like their chances. You had six players in double figures. Okay. And your leading scorer was Cat with 19. OG at 17. Landry Shamet shooting the lights out again, 16 points. Impressive. Absolutely impressive. 4 for 4 from three. Exactly what you need. If Jalen Brunson doesn't have to carry the whole load, this team is formidable. But if OKC or San Antonio decide, fine, we will let everybody else beat us, but not you, Mr. Brunson. We will lock your ass down. We'll throw doubles at you. We'll sick Wemby on you. Wemby will envelop you. But he's what? 1.5 times your size. If they start throwing that at him and they say, fine, we'll take you out and we dare Karl Anthony Towns to beat us. We dare OG to beat us. We dare Josh Hart, Mr. 6 points, to beat us. Then it becomes problematic. Then it becomes a problem. But if they're going to do what they did to the Cavs, they just whooped them. Plain and simple, whooped them from pillar to post. Like the only, Donovan Mitchell at 31. James Harden, 12 points. Thanks for coming, James. You got outscored by Evan Mobley. That's lovely. Actually, I mean, you got outscored by OG. And OG is considered a defensive player. So, we await their opponent. Now, there becomes the rest versus rust thing, right? Because we saw that in hockey. We just saw that with Colorado, and we saw that with Carolina. You could go one of two ways. Colorado got bounced the fuck out, and we're going to talk about them in a second. They got swept the fuck out of the playoffs. But Carolina, they gave up game one, and they just came back and took Montreal to school. There's two ways to go about this. How is Mike Brown using his downtime? How are they getting treated for nagging injuries? How are they going to, tape Mitchell Robinson's finger together? Are they going to put in a splint? Like, what are you going to do? Is he just going to play through it and, I'll heal in the offseason? Not really great for a defensive wizard. A guy that you're going to need against, the likes of Hartenstein or the likes of Wemby. You're going to need size. Cat can't be your biggest guy. So the Knicks, all credit to them, they have a puncher's chance. They're there. But the Western Conference teams are a different animal. They haven't played anybody up to that caliber yet. You beat Atlanta. You took down Philly. Philly, who plays down to competition. Like, they just aren't what their names dictate they should be. The whole is not as good as the names. And then you got to the Cavs. Another instance of the whole being not as good as the sum of its parts. You're running up against either the defending champion in the Thunder or a team that's on the rise with one of the best players in the league in Wemby. They're not going to get swept. I guarantee you that. They're in for a fight. And they have a shot. I'll give them a shot to win this thing. But they're going to be tested, and they're going to have to fight, because whoever's coming out of the West, they're no slouch, and they're going to be tested, and they're going to be prepared, and they're going to be coming for you.
Yeah, so the biggest thing for me is kind of like you said, they haven't been really challenged recently, right? I mean, they just breezed by the 76ers and they just breezed by the Cavaliers. There's been some professional basketball being played in the Western Conference Finals today and most of this week. You got two heavyweights just going at it, exchanging blows, exchanging games, knowing what it's like to be down and having to come back, knowing what it's like to lose a game and have to come back and win. So that's the only downside that I say for the Knicks. I think it can be done. I think they can beat both teams as long as they stay on the they stay hot, they stay ready to go. You know, I don't think either San Antonio or Thunder are world beaters. I do, however, think they are two of the best teams remaining. There's a couple of things that give me pause about the New York Knicks. The first is they haven't been challenged recently. Let's be fair. The Eastern Conference was a joke this year. It just was, right? Then there's just the part of me that says Mike Brown is going to coach the New York Knicks to beat the San Antonio Spurs or to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is a guy that coached LeBron. This is a guy that coached Kobe and wasn't able to win with those guys. You're going to tell me that this Knick team, this particular Knick team, is better than the 1970 team? It's better than the John Starks, Patrick Ewing, Anthony Mason team? It's better than the Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell, Marcus Camby team? That's the only part that I'm having a tough time coming to terms with. That's the part that I'm like, everything else passes, right, Z? Like, this team, for the last 3 weeks, they have made every correct pass, right? They've made every extra pass that needed to be made. They've hit every clutch basket that needed to be made. They went on every single run. They completely dominate their competition. They're sharing the ball. They're having fun. It's legendary. It's historic. They've got the garden going. Every star has been aligned for this moment. Can it keep going? I don't know. I don't know.
But you hit the X factor. You hit the nail on the head. The coach is what's going to keep it in motion, because you're going to get punched in the mouth either way. Either if it's the Thunder or the Spurs, you're going to get punched in the mouth. How do you recover? How do you make adjustments? That's on coaching. That's where Mike Brown is going to earn his money. Now, can he do it?
coaches coach and players play. I always say that. He can motivate them all he wants, but essentially they're going to have to get out there and perform. I mean, this thing, this Jalen Brunson, what he's become from what he was in college and what he was in Dallas, you know, he just seems, and he's not the quickest guy. He's not the quickest guy.
No.
He's not the fastest guy.
No.
But let me tell you, when he shoots it, he knows if it's going to go in or not. He knows. And they all play off of this. They've been just playing really well together. I don't think the layoff's going to affect them. What I'm interested to see is, like you said, what happens when you get punched in the mouth? You take game one. I would say the Knicks are going to win game one, regardless of who they play. It doesn't matter, right? But that game two, when this Western Conference Finals team, whether it's Thunder or the Spurs, they come out and they throttle you or they beat you. And then you're going home, right? They're going back to New York after that. Then what happens? You know, so that's what I'm curious to see. We will find out next week, as they're going to have about 9 days off. Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com. But 3 years ago, Becky Hammon said the Knicks needed a 1A player to win a title. Your best player can't be 6'2". Jalen Brunson is currently the best player on the New York Knicks and has gotten them to the NBA Finals, which we just talked about. When asked if she wanted to take back her comments, Hammond said, "I stand by what I said. If he proves me wrong, he proves me wrong. I think the two best teams are in the West, and you know who I'm pulling for." So what are your feelings about Hammond doubling down on her comments? And this is a well-established female basketball player and coach who was an amazing player in the WNBA. She was a coach on the San Antonio Spurs, and now she's currently the head coach, of the Liberty, right?
I think the Aces. Yeah. Total blatant homerism. Complete blatant homerism. We know who
that's
she's
fair.
Rooting for. Is it fair? 100%.
Why not? This is a team that gave a woman a head coaching opportunity. Like, they interviewed her for a head coaching position, and she was a coach on their staff. Fuck yeah. Ride or die with them forever.
I understand the loyalty, but at the same time, we can be objective. You're not being paid by the Spurs. You're being paid by the Las Vegas Aces. So, it's okay to be objective now that you're not getting your paycheck cut by the team. That being said, she cited Steph Curry as the only exception to this. Steph Curry is possibly the greatest shooter in NBA history.
So, but he's not 6'2", is he? Isn't he tall?
No, I believe he's 6'2 or shorter. So he's in that range. But if you're looking at it, she cited Allen Iverson, didn't win anything.
I saw that.
Cited John Stockton, got to the finals, didn't win anything.
Cited MVP.
Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Steve Nash, didn't win anything. However, I think that there's a fairness to the comment in that he has not won anything yet. I think it's a premature coronation, and a lot of Knicks fans aren't going to like hearing that, because they're just so stoked to be there for the first time since 1999. But it's true. The Knicks haven't won anything yet. The job is not done. What have you been saying for the past 3 weeks?
Job's not finished.
No.
It's now.
It is now.
It's not. It's now. This is it.
Yes. Now, her statement is predicated on the Knicks winning a championship. Until Jalen Brunson straps his big boy pants on and does the thing, right? Until he goes out there and does the deed, Becky Hammon's 100% right. Just objectively. He's got to win. They have to win. Otherwise, he's lumped in with the rest of them. The one saving grace is that Jalen Brunson absolutely can make it back. The Knicks, with a couple of tweaks, if they don't win this year, they can make it back. There is a possibility there. So, you may not want to hear it. You may not like it. It may piss you off. But it's fine. She's factually accurate. Becky Hammon is factually accurate until Jalen Brunson proves otherwise. Until the Knicks deliver the chip.
She says history proves me right. Like, you know, she said it. She cited Iverson. She cited Stockton. She cited you're the only thing. The thing that she was saying, and maybe it's is your best player can't be 6'2". Your best player can't be one of the smallest players in the team. She has a point, and she sure as hell knows more about basketball than I do. I think a lot of things will have to go their way. But, Z, if they have the mentality that you have, that you just said, oh, well, they'll make it back. Oh, well, you know, a couple of tweaks and they'll be, no. If they have that mentality, Z, if anyone in that building has that mentality, they will not win against the Spurs or the Thunder. The mentality has to be, this is it.
No, that mentality, my mentality, what I was just saying, is for afterwards.
No, that's wrong. Afterwards, you have to tell yourself, this was it. We missed it. If you say, oh, we'll make a couple tweaks, you've already lost. No, you won't be back. But if you have the mentality of this was it and we missed it, that's the mentality you have to have. If anybody leading up to this game, during the game, or after the games thinks that they can make a tweak and be better next year and be better suited next year, it's over. Don't put the champagne in the other room. Don't even bother printing the shirts. The shirts for the finals should say, this is it. They have all these little slogans that they have. The slogan is, this is it. We win this year or we don't win for another 30 or 40 years. It has to happen this year.
I disagree. I fundamentally disagree with that.
You're a Met fan. Of course you disagree. You're a Met fan.
No, I'm a rational human being. And here's why you're able to do that, right? You have this thing called free agency. You can make trades. Other teams get worse. It's not a static situation. Other teams bubble up. Other teams bubble down. So you can continue to ascend. And the Knicks have continued to ascend. They went from 4 to 3. To one.
And they're just going to keep ascending, right? You just keep ascending year after year. You just keep ascending. Keep getting better and better. There's no setbacks. There's no people getting hurt. There's no issues that come about. Everything just keeps getting better and better. You just have years of fortune.
What is the role of the front office, if you don't mind me asking? What is the role of the front office? To improve the team. No team is perfect. No team will ever be perfect. Even your favorite team of all time, the Patriots, they got beat by the Giants. The 17-0 team.
The Warriors were pretty perfect for a long time, and then what happened? It all went down.
Right.
Like, you're not going to win forever.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. How long was that run? How long were they near the top?
When did it start? It started in 2022 was their last win. So it lasted like 6 years, 7 years.
What you're saying is that this is year 6 and they're going to bottom out.
No,
that's
no.
What you're saying.
I'm saying this is the third year of the New York Knicks. And the third year of the New York Knicks, they don't have a chance to gamble with 4, 5, and 6. They're not the Golden State Warriors. They don't have that much talent. They're not the Oklahoma City Thunder. They don't have that much talent. They're not the 76ers. They're not the Boston Celtics. They're not any of those teams. They are the New
York
Knicks.
You're right. They're not the 76ers. The 76ers haven't won diddly dick. The 76ers haven't sniffed it. They haven't even got there.
Right. But they also had a time, right? If I'm not mistaken, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals and they became within a dink, 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 dunk of with Kawhi Leonard putting them out, right? And
that
I'm sure at that point, the 76ers said,
I'm glad you brought them up.
The limit, guys. We got to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll be back next year and we'll be better. We'll be ready. And have they sniffed the Eastern Conference Finals since then?
No.
Why?
And here's why.
Injuries.
Here's why. Injuries and the wrong players. They have the wrong players. Joel Embiid is fragile.
Let me ask you a question. You really think that OG Anunoby is going to be able to keep another season together where he doesn't get hurt? You really think he can go next year and play 50 games? You really believe that?
Anything is possible in the NBA.
I'm just asking you if you believe that.
I think it's possible.
That their third best player, who's probably the most important player on their team, is going to stay healthy for 50 plus games.
You're also not taking into account that they can make a move and he becomes their fourth or fifth best player.
If they make a move and he becomes their fourth or fifth best player, good for them. I would love to know what they give up to get him to be their fourth or fifth best player and not give up Mikal Bridges and give up Cat. You're going to get another year of Josh Hart being productive.
Being what?
He's productive. He's like their Draymond Green. He works in this system. But how much longer is that going to work for them? How much longer can he out-muscle, out-hustle, and out-rebound? Come on. Regardless of what happens, let's say the Oklahoma City Thunder get to the finals.
Uh-huh.
Let's say the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Knicks.
Okay.
You think the Oklahoma City Thunder are taking a step back next year? You don't think they're going to be better next year with the Mitchell kid?
You want to talk
about... All
of a
sudden, is this amazing star?
You want to talk about a team that has been remarkably healthy. That's another one. They're due for a slip. They're due for a slip.
They're a plethora of...
And they're going to get pushed by the Spurs.
They're going to have a top 15 pick.
And?
They have Mitchell, who they have the choice of to trade and get value or to keep him on their team. I'm just trying to say that this mentality that you think that they're going to have another successful season because that has just been so dominant in the NBA of late, where the Eastern Conference teams keep coming back and coming back and coming back. Come on, you think the Pistons are going to be back?
No,
Right, you're not going to be back. This was it. This was it for the Pistons. And their best player got hurt. And in him getting hurt, when he came back, he wasn't the same guy. And that destroyed that whole chemistry.
You like to invoke the Mets when you mention my fandom. So let me tell you what the fucking Pistons were this year. They were the 2015 Mets. They were 2 years ahead of where they needed to be. And stupid moves and a lack of player progression dulled that team. And now you see those players, some of those players still are around the league, and they're still doing pretty well, just not for the Mets. That's the problem with the Pistons. They peaked 2 years early. That's the problem. The Sixers never peaked because the Sixers stuck.
No, the Sixers peaked in that Eastern Conference Finals against Kawhi Leonard. The problem was they let Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors beat their ass because they should have beat them. They should have went to the championship that year, and they should have played. Look at the Nuggets. Another good example.
Yeah,
with the Joker got to the NBA Finals, won the chip. Like, they'll be back next year. They'll be back. They're gonna be back year after year after year. They lost in the last round, man. You cannot take this shit for granted. And if you have the mentality that we'll be back, just a tweak here, a tweak there, we'll just make an adjustment. We'll keep all of our important players. We'll keep our third best player. We'll become our fourth and fifth best player. We'll make a trade. No.
No, no, it's gone. It's gone. This is it.
So what this you're saying, here's what you're saying. You're saying blow it up if they don't win? Because that's what you're saying.
No, you're saying, I'm not saying blow it up.
You're saying this is
they're
it.
Not,
that means you're
they
done.
They won't blow it up. I'm just trying to tell you that if you do not get there this year, and you do not win this year, you will not be back next year. And even if you do get back next year, you're not beating any team in the West next year. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say blow it up. They're not going to blow it up. They're not. There's no way they would lose their minds. Would they? You know, they lose their minds if they do that. But you got teams like Harper on the Spurs is probably their second best player, and he fucking comes off the bench. That's fucking bananas. Their team is stacked. Oklahoma City Thunder are stacked. And you got to believe that the Eastern team, they had a this Knicks team had a problem with the fucking Hawks in the first round. Gosh damn it.
Uh-huh. And they still won.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. Thank God. McCullough dropping 31 on their asses. I'm just trying to say you're taking advantage of the situation. You cannot count on next year. You cannot count on making tweaks and being back. Look at the Indiana Pacers and Tyrese Haliburton.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible injury. And they're not getting back, dude. We don't even know what he's going to look like next year. We don't even know what he's going to look like in 2 years from now. That shit's over. Then they fucking missed out on getting the fifth pick in the draft. And they have Zubac.
Zubac. They have Zubac.
That's it.
It's Kevin Pritchard, quickly, an idiot.
How quickly do you go from playing in the NBA Finals God, I don't even know when we're
right.
Gonna play.
Okay, let's talk about that. Why were they in the NBA Finals? Because Jalen Brunson fractured his hand. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. You don't think that could happen again? You
it absolutely could. But what you're saying,
you're all healthy now. You're riding high now. You're flowing. There's chemistry. There's magic. Everything is bouncing your way.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you can't improve in the offseason and still make it back. That's the whole point of sports. You're always trying to get better.
As good as the Oklahoma City Thunder are, look at how hard it is for them to get back. Look at what they're having to go through to get back. They might not even make it back.
Right. Show me that team in the East. The Celtics, don't believe in them. Sorry, they'll probably end up trading Jaylen Brown for a washed-up Giannis. They're going to end up trading him for a back injury-riddled Giannis. Have fun
with
that.
And then when the Knicks trade for the injury-riddled Giannis, you're going to be like, "That's the guy."
Nope.
We were so close.
I don't want.
Okay.
I don't want.
Example. Okay, so the Knicks lose. The Knicks lose the finals this year, and because of losing, everyone's response is going to be trade for Giannis, trade for Giannis, trade for Giannis. They trade for Giannis. Are you going to still be like, "Oh, we just were a couple of moves away"? No, you're going to be like, "That was stupid, and now we're not going to make the finals," right?
It depends on what you give up for him. Now, well, this is the problem. Don't you're just so myopic on this that you don't understand the problem. Like, it's not just, "Oh, they traded for Giannis. What'd you give up for him?" Do they just want to pick up?
They gave up Cat and Bridges.
That's a massive overpay. That's a massive overpay.
But you would put it past management to do that? Would you be surprised if management did that?
This management.
Yeah. Would you be surprised if this management did that?
I would. This management is not previous Knick management. Yes, they traded 5 first round picks to the Nets. First round picks are fucking lottery tickets. First round picks don't always work. NBA draft picks don't always work. Lest we forget, Bronny James was an NBA draft pick. So they don't always work out. And you're trusting the net brain trust to hit 5 times? I didn't trust them to hit once. Yeah, I didn't trust them to hit once. They're going to hit 5 times? So I am more concerned, but with breaking up the core. They have a run. They're in the middle of the run. Yes, it would be disappointing if they lose this year. And they have an opportunity. It'll be a wasted opportunity this year, but the door is not closed. You can get better. It is possible. It is absolutely possible. You're discounting that.
What's more other possible, teams getting also- better or getting a lot? What's more possible, getting better or getting worse? What's more possible?
More possible?
Yeah, what's more possible, getting better or getting worse?
I would say, in the current climate of the NBA, I would say getting better is easier. More possible in this case.
Tell that to the Nuggets. Tell that to the Nuggets. Tell it to the Nuggets.
I will tell it to the Nuggets. I will tell them to the Nuggets. I'm not moving on. We're not moving on yet.
Go.
All right. You had Jamal Murray, who was hurt all the time. You have Jokic. You have Aaron Gordon. That's your team. That was it.
Come on. Come on.
That was it.
That's not their team. Come on. Who are the other players on their team that are valued? Come on. There are more players on their team of
Christian
value.
Brown?
What?
Who, yeah. Christian Brown?
Hell yeah. You don't think he's value?
He's value. He's not a needle mover.
But he's value. He's one of their best players. What do you mean? Not a needle mover. How are you going to say something like that?
Not a needle mover. No. You need guys the caliber of Murray. And come Murray on. Ain't been healthy.
Come on.
No, you come on. You come on. The Nuggets got lapped because they got run into the ground by Michael Malone and other teams got better. And they stayed pat. They stood pat. They got Aaron Gordon. They went for the run. They got it. And then they got lapped. What you cannot do is get lapped. So you have to be continuously trying to get better. And the Knicks, this Leon Rose front office has shown a track record that they're trying to get better. It may not always look like that because you have cap for Dante DiVincenzo and just like, oh my God, they traded Dante DiVincenzo. They're in the finals. It worked. They got better. They gelled cohesively. They fired Tom Thibodeau. They replaced him with Mike Brown. They got farther with Brown than they did with Thibodeau. They're pushing the right buttons. They're absolutely pushing the right buttons. They've gotten this far. You can get better. It is possible to get better.
You're trying to say the Thibodeau team wouldn't have been able to beat the Hawks, the Sixers, and the shitty Cavaliers.
I'm saying a Thibodeau team would only have its six player rotation and they'd be gassed by now. Even if they made
what round of the playoffs would they have lost in if Tibbs was coached?
Second.
They would have lost the 76ers.
Second. They would have been run into lost the 76ers. Ground. They would have been run into the ground.
By the 76ers.
By the season. By their own coach.
So you're saying that even though in the 76ers series where Joel Embiid didn't play in two games, they would have still lost to the 76ers.
With Tom Thibodeau as their head coach, what is he doing? Running his players into the ground?
I'm just asking the question.
And I'm responding.
Run to the ground or not, they would have lost to a 76ers team that didn't have Joel Embiid for two games.
Yes. Because they would have been dog exhausted and someone would have been hurt. Look at the track record of Tom Thibodeau with the Knicks. Somebody always got hurt. Why did somebody always get hurt? Because somebody was running to the fucking ground because they're playing full 48s. Why are you playing your six-man rotation? Mike Brown plays more than that.
A better coach than Tom Thibodeau.
It's a better fit for this team. It is a better fit, and you can't deny it.
I'm glad we're recording it. I'm glad we're recording you saying that Mike Brown is a better fit for the New York Knicks.
For this team. And why is that the case? The results are there. He's in the finals. Tom Thibodeau never got there.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Thibodeau never got that far. Think about the coaches that the Knicks have had. Lenny Wilkins didn't sniff the playoffs. Larry Brown didn't sniff... This is a different front office, thankfully. Leon Rose is way more competent.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay.
hope that comes to fruition. We'll see.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Moving over to hockey, where the Vegas Golden Knights and John Tortorella are headed to the Stanley Cup Finals after sweeping the Colorado Avalanche in four games. They now await the winner of the Habs and Carolina series, where the Hurricanes are currently up 3-1. So was this series win about Torts, about the Knights, or about the Avalanche?
You can't say with any degree of, without any degree of doubt, that this is about the Avalanche. You do not put together the season you put together and mow teams down, mow better teams down, like the Wild, only to go out in four to the Golden Knights. Kudos to Torts. He got there at the right time. Bruce Cassidy clearly got tuned out. He went on an 8-game heater and propelled the Knights to the Stanley Cup. That's fantastic. This is all about the Colorado Avalanche. That is a major league choke job. And yeah, I get it. They were missing Makar for 2 games. That team is loaded without Makar. Mackenzie Blackwood, Scott Wedgwood, they finally came down to earth. Same way Jakub Dobesh is falling right back down to earth for Montreal. Carter Hart is stepping up at the right time. Torts had him in Philly. He's rolling with him. He trusts him. And he's paid off in spades. But for a team as loaded as the Colorado Avalanche to go into this series with a team that was vastly inferior in the regular season, the Golden Knights would not have made it in the Eastern Conference. I believe they only had 92 points. That wouldn't have done it in the Eastern Conference. To go out like that, that is an embarrassment. That is an absolute embarrassment. And the Avalanche need to really consider what their goaltending issue is and how they're going to fix it. Because they ran Wedgwood out there fine during the regular season, fine during the early rounds of the playoffs. Spit the bit. Blackwood, fine during the regular season, fine during the postseason, spit the bit. You've had guys like Alexander Georgiev go through there. They haven't had a top flight goaltender. So maybe that is the upgrade that they need to make. But get in line, right? Because you have Edmonton, you have lots of teams that are lining up for a quality goaltender to kind of take their team to the next level. And if you want to talk about a this is it run, I'm calling Florida and I'm asking what they want for Bobrovsky. If Florida believes that their window's closing, they might be willing to engage you on Bobrovsky. That might be worth your while. And that might be a trade that both teams make. But Torts, this is his MO. He gets hooked onto a veteran team and he rides them. He's a more successful Tom Thibodeau. So he's gotten farther than Tom Thibodeau. He's gotten farther than Tom Thibodeau too. So he rides the veterans. Defensive minded hockey, transition. That's Torts hockey right there. And he had the right group. He had firepower. He has firepower. And he was able to do what Bruce Cassidy could not do. He put the spur to them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's more about the Avalanche. You know, Makar, McKinnon, they just weren't 100%, man. They were giving it all they got. But this Vegas Golden Knights team with under Tortorella was a different animal. I want to say they were like 19-4 or something like that in their stretch run with Torts.
Yeah, including the postseason, yeah.
Yeah, and let's not sleep on Jack Eichel, who is the player taken after Connor McDavid, who is a star. He's a stud. He's a great player. And didn't work out too well with the Sabres, but you know, he's bringing this is the best right expansion team ever. They're back in the Stanley Cup Finals, and it's not a hoax. They belong there. They played better than everybody down the stretch. They made the playoffs. They beat everybody who's in front of them, and they're going to give Carolina a tough time. I think they have a chance. But yeah, I mean, hats off to management there, making the right move at the right time. And you know, unfortunately, the Stanley Cup playoffs is a war of attrition, right? You've got to be able to go through all these rounds. Every round it gets tougher. You're dealing with different schemes, different goaltending, and everybody's gassed. Everybody's tired. That's the thing, is like, you can't use that as an excuse. Nobody's 100%. But this Vegas Knights team has been able to keep it together, and I like their chances.
I mean, they are loaded. They're absolutely loaded. You mentioned Eichel. We mentioned Marner. Dorofeev is very good. Mark Stone is there. You have depth of scoring on all four lines. That's impressive. That's absolutely impressive. And they're getting quality goaltending from Carter Hart. How long does that last? Because Carter Hart doesn't have the best reputation in the league. Now, he was a great prospect. Flamed out. Took an indefinite leave of absence after being linked to the 2018 Hockey Canada sexual assault case. And now he's back. And he seems to be righting the ship. Torts had him, like I said. It's just a matter of time. We're going to see because you figure that the Hurricanes are going to put up a strong fight.
Yeah.
They're going to score. They're going to do everything that they need to. Now, it's a matter of rest at this point, because they are going to have some time. How are they preparing? Much like the Knicks, how are you using your downtime? How are you healing up? Who are you getting back? Those are some big factors at this point. And especially for a team like the Golden Knights, who is on the more veteran side. You can kind of take those nagging injuries and kind of heal them up a little bit. Because like you said, everybody's hurt.
Everybody's hurt.
You
can't use that as an excuse.
No. But if you can heal up a little bit, that definitely makes things a little bit better.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Well, a bill has been proposed on the Senate floor this week that would give more power to the NCAA and try to right everything that is wrong with college sports right now. Other parameters of the bill would allow students to change schools only once without penalty, create a salary cap for schools, allow college players to only play 5 years, and eliminate pros from going back to college and competing. Will this bill ever pass?
I love this bill. I love this. I will. If I was
thank Ted Cruz for this.
Hey, you know what?
He
finally got something right. Cancun Cruz finally got something right. He finally got something right. You shouldn't have guys who are 7 years in college with all of this eligibility, with the COVID exemption. They're going for your fucking doctorate, man. Are you going for your doctorate? What the fuck? Seriously. I like limiting the transfers. Like, remember we talked about this a while. Like, how do you build loyalty to a school when you're just hopping from school to school every year? That kind of restores that a little bit. And it merely makes you think twice about whether or not you want to transfer. Right? Like a guy like Cam Newton. Cam Newton was blocked by Tim Tebow. That's why he transferred. In NIL, you have that opportunity to go from spot to spot to spot to spot. It's free agency. It's absolute free agency. And in the wild west of NIL, that's completely unchecked. I'm intrigued by the number. I'd like to know what the number is for the salary cap. I'm sure that's yet to be negotiated, but I like putting restraints on this. I like having restrictions on this because it prevents exactly what we've watched and exactly what we feared, that this would be Pandora's box, because that's what happened. They opened the box and all hell broke loose. Let's put some order back into it. And I just can't believe that Ted Cruz had the wherewithal, the good sense to put his pen to paper on this one.
Yeah, I'd just be curious to know where all the money goes. Yeah. Where are the universities getting all this money, and where ultimately does it go? Like, you know, who's profiting from all the stuff that's going on? I think it's a good idea in theory. I just don't know if the NCAA has the wherewithal to enforce it. And what are the repercussions if you fall short of this, is what I would wonder. Like, what are you going to do? Put a school on sanctions because, you know, a guy left, you know, or a guy was, you know, paid more than the salary cap allowed. Like, I just don't know how all that works, you know? So, I mean, in theory, it sounds great. I mean, definitely something needs to be done. They're attacking the major pain points, the key areas. You got to get players caring about their school again. Like, you know, I feel like we just reached an era where, you know, there's no blood in the game. There's no allegiance. You know, what school are you the alumni are? You know, or what school are you alumni of? Like, where does it all come from? So I think it's important. That's an important part about college. I mean, if you notice, like, most pro players, they don't talk about the good old days with the 49ers, or the good old days with the Kansas City Chiefs. They talk about when they were at Michigan, when they were at Ohio State, or when they won the national title with LSU. They talk about those things. They talk about their college days, you know? And so I don't know if you're going to have that if you don't do something about what's going on right now.
No, you don't. There's not going to be any nostalgia. Nobody's going to think wistfully about my freshman year at TCU, and then my sophomore year at Vanderbilt, and then my junior year at Ohio State, and then my senior year at Notre Dame. Like,
right.
That's a lot.
If you did all those things, then what school calls you to help boost their nil money? Like,
right.
Are you going to give $25,000 to each school? Is, you know, you're going to give it to Ohio State because that's where you won the national title? You're going to give it to Notre Dame because that's where you started? Like, how does that all work? How does that all play out? Like, these are things that I don't understand. Like, especially from, you know, a guy like Troy Aikman who played all his years at UCLA and he boosts UCLA. You know,
right.
I mean, he played for Oklahoma and UCLA and Texas and Notre Dame. And how does it work?
Right. Well, you figure it would be the team that they won with if they won. But the introduction of a salary cap is interesting because it's going to redirect money right back under the table. So it's going to look very familiar. It's going to kind of bring things back to the way it used to be.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And I think that part of the issue is that how wide open it was and how brazen it was. And it's like, oh yeah, you got this money? Well, I got fuck you money. Like, this is...
The only thing I don't know is I don't know if this is hurting or helping players, right? Because like you said, like the idea that Cam Newton was able to leave Florida and go to Auburn or go to JUCO and then go to Auburn, the idea that Joe Burrow left Ohio State but then went to LSU, like if they weren't permitted or able to do those things, do they still become the players they were?
Yeah, but they only did it once.
Jalen Hurts was at Alabama, but then he finished at Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. But you know? They only did it once. Like, if we're following
them, okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
They all followed what Mr. Cruz is proposing. So, yeah, you are getting like the Carson Becks of the world who are just kind of like going all over the fucking place. But this is going to restore that order to where you may end up in a Cam Newton situation where you sit behind Tebow and you're like, I don't want to sit behind Tebow. I can fucking play. Yeah. Or you're there in a Tom Brady situation. You're sitting behind Drew Henson and finally, you know, Carr sends you out there. Like, go get him, kid. You have two different pathways here. And I think it's going to create that not only the nostalgia part, but also a little bit of resilience, a little bit of the stick-to-itiveness that you kind of need, not the, oh man, I'm in a shitty situation. Well, fuck you, I'm leaving. How many times can you do that? And last time I checked, employers noticed that. When things go south, what do? You look to leave. Well, that's a bad sign. That's a really bad character trait. So I think that it's going to clean things up in the long run. And I think it's going to benefit the players as well as the organization. More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
All right. So moving on, the Tigers, Cubs, and Rays have hit a bit of a rough patch lately. The Tigers are 4-17 in their last 21 games, and they're without their best pitcher, who should be coming back next week. The Cubs have given first place to the Brewers. And the Rays just got swept by the sorry O's. Which of these teams is in the most trouble?
Well, the Detroit Tigers, I believe, have one fewer win than the Mets. And we pretty much wrote the Mets off this season.
Solid.
They are 10.5 games behind Cleveland. So, remember the whole thing we're talking about, that if they could tread water while Scooble is out? Well, yeah, ain't no treading water. There's a hole in that boat. There's a hole in the fucking boat, and he's going to be a Dodger before you know it. Screwball. Yeah, it's a matter of time.
Dodger or Padre.
It's a matter of time before Screwball is on one of those two teams. The Rays, yeah, they've hit the skids. They lost four in a row. They're playing the Angels tonight. They have a game and a half lead on the Yankees. They're going to be in it. They're going to be in it. You expect the Rays to kind of hit a little bit of skid sometimes because they don't really have the power bat. They really don't have the superstar that's going to carry them through. Yandy Diaz is very good. He's not a superstar. Jonathan Aranda is good. He's not a superstar. Right? So they'll be fine. The Rays are competently run. What the fuck happened to the Cubs? What the fuck happened to the Cubs? You lost 2 out of 3 to the White Sox, who are surprisingly better than we thought they were going to be. I think everybody can say that the White Sox are a pleasant surprise with Mr. Murakami. You get swept by the Brewers. Okay, the Brewers are in first place. They've been around for a while. Murphy Ball is legit. Ugh, losing to the Astros. 23-31 on the year. That's really? We're losing the Astros now? The Astros are fucking terrible. They're absolutely terrible. And I know that Kate Horton's not there. I know that you've had injuries. You had to rely on guys like Colin Ray in the rotation. But you are better than that. The Cubs are better than that. I have a feeling, I think that they will round back into form. Eventually, they'll get Justin Steele back. They're not going to get him before the All-Star game, before the All-Star break. But they're looking to get him by the end of the season, at least. So you're going to have your rotation fortified with a top of the rotation arm. He was an All-Star last time he was healthy. So you're banking on that. But Tigers, it has not worked out. It has not worked out whatsoever.
Jack Flaherty is 0-6 with like an over 7 ERA.
Atrocious.
Riley Green. Jack, I don't know what happened to Riley Green. That guy was hitting home runs last year. He ain't hitting home runs this year.
Yeah. I mean, he's leading the team in batting average, so at least Riley Green is doing that. But Dylan Dingler is leading the team. I believe he has 10 homers.
How's like McGonagall doing?
Let's take a look at that. But I can tell you this much. You brought in Justin Verlander. How'd that work out? You brought in Framber Valdez. How'd that work out? These are moves that did not work. Let's see. McGonagall, here we go. 291, 3-21. Not terrible.
Yeah. 3-21. It's not going to get,
you know.
And well, Glaber's the guys been that hurt, you're right? Looking.
Glaber's been hurt. Torkelson, 205, 8-21. The typical Spencer Torkelson season. That's the thing. Like, but he didn't hit. They thought they were getting a ready-made guy in Spencer Torkelson, and he never took the next step. Never, ever. You're looking at, like, Vierling, another one, 210, 4-21. 21 ribbies seems to be very common with the Detroit Tigers. That's the magic number, 21 ribbies. So I don't know, man. This team is definitely playing down right now. And it starts with the pitching. Yeah, like Flaherty's 5-8-1, hasn't won a game all year, but leads the team in strikeouts. So there's that. Framber Valdez leads the team in ERA. 4-2-8. 4-2-8. Jesus Christ. They have fallen off a goddamn cliff. And what assets do you have on this team that you can move? Right?
Scooble.
Somebody will probably take Kyle Finnegan because you're always looking for relief pitching at the deadline. I mean, ain't nobody taking Jack Flaherty. But no, that's a DFA situation. Valdez, I mean, he's a hothead. Nobody's going to take him. Especially after the whole situation.
He just got there.
I know. But he's playing so poorly that they may want to try and get rid of him. Might be like a Bo Bichette situation where the dude's just so bad. I just want to get out of this deal. Please. Change the scenery.
I just want to jerk the wheel.
Goddamn bridge. Do you validate? Now. Like a Bo Bichette for a Framber Valdez deal. There we go.
Bo Bichette for a ham sandwich. Stock my fridges for the next 4 years. No, I'm not kidding. I think the Rays will be fine. The Rays are the Rays.
Yeah.
The Tigers are an embarrassment. I don't know. I think that's a done situation. I think the Cubs at one time won 18 of 20 games. So they're definitely capable of winning more games. The problem is the pitching. They lost Orton.
Yeah.
Steele is going to come back, but he's not. They just don't pitch enough. They don't pitch well enough. I think they have probably the best infield in the league, right? Fielding and hitting infield in the league. But you can't get people out. You don't got a guy who could blow it by people, shut them down. Like, so I think there's a ceiling there. No, he's not. I had him on my fantasy team last year. He was fun. He's good, but he's not great. So I'm going to say the Tigers are in the most trouble because I think they're about 2 weeks away from blowing it up. I think when Scooble comes back, if you don't go on some kind of tear where you win like double-digit games, and I don't even know how you would do it, you're blowing it up. You're going to go send Scooble to the Dodgers for a haul. You'll maybe send Verlander. If somebody's interested in Verlander, you send him away. You'll just start sending people away. There's probably a market for Riley Green, I'm sure. The Yankees probably could use Riley Green, to be honest. But, yeah. So I think the Tigers are in the most trouble. I think their season's about 2 weeks away from being over. The Rays are the Rays. They have low expectations, and they somehow win and beat teams. You know, it was terrible losing to the O's, but they'll bounce back. And then I expect the Cubs to be okay. They're the second best team in that division. That's it.
That's a team that needs to go out and get an ace at the deadline. That's the team.
I don't think they have the assets to do
probably
that.
Probably not.
And at this point in time. At the same time. Right.
No. So, yeah, because they're the team that should be beating the Dodgers to the punch on Scooble. They should be. But I doubt that they're going to be able to match up. Because when we're looking at it, let's take a look at their top prospects real quick. You might be able to swing something. You're looking at Alcantara just got there. He just got up to the bigs. You're looking at Jefferson Rojas. He's a shortstop, double A. Maybe they would move Mookie Betts off a shortstop. That might interest them. Jackson Wiggins, he's a triple A. He's scheduled to be here this year. You got a kid in Ethan Conrad. He's in rookie ball right now. Like, the Dodgers may, you know, or the Tigers may be interested in that. I think the Dodgers would be, pushed by this because you have enough here and you have enough pieces that the Tigers may want. And let's not forget that the Dodgers have also kind of stripped their farm system down. So they've got some prospects, but nowhere near what they used to. So
it could very well be in Major League Baseball. I thought they were like top three in Major League Baseball.
But it's not the caliber of guys that, you know, you were getting years ago.
Kenley Jansen just landed on the 15-day disabled list for the Tigers, their closer.
Yes, that just happened today. So You're looking at Josue de Paula, 21-year-old outfielder, Zaire Hope, 21-year-old outfielder. You might have some guys here. You have high A. You might have some guys here that are of interest. And you have a few guys that are in AAA that might be ready-made prospects. So it depends on what the Tigers are looking for and what's being dangled in front of them. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder at the end of the day. So the Tigers have the asset, and ultimately they're going to have to make a decision, because this is looking pretty hopeless pretty fast in a season that really showed the potential for promise until they had to start playing.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool J technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that could be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
Fair or foul, judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one. Victor Wembanyama skipping the presser after the Game 5 loss to the Thunder.
Yeah, it's foul, man. It's like you're trying to be the next face of the league. You had a bad loss in a game where you didn't play so well. It's kind of your job to face up, own up to it, and visit the media. So it's a no-go. That's a very, very taboo. So I'm going to say that is foul.
No, it's completely foul. He had 20 points, one rebound in the first half. Just not a great defensive showing either. Oklahoma City shot 49% when he was on the floor. That's not good. That is definitely not good. But if you are the face of the league, if you are the budding superstar that people say you are, then you have to own it. Right? You have to go to the podium. You have to take your lumps. And you have to be present for it. Everybody's going to go through it. Everybody's going to have their bad games. But it's how you handle it as a professional. That's what's going to take you to the next level of superstar. Fair or foul, number two. Aaron Rodgers says this will be his last season.
You know, I'm fine with this. It's fair. You know, you got McCarthy coming back home to Pennsylvania. He's with Aaron, who he started with. Everybody knows what's at stake here. There's no, I don't know if I'm going to play another year. There's no question marks here. We know what we're going to get from him. We're going to get below average quarterback play. We know that they're going to have a losing record for the first time in the last 25 years. And it's fine. Like, we're okay. This is your last hurrah. We're gonna go through the torment of watching you play another season, and then you ride off into the sunset. I think this is completely fair.
Are we sure this time? Is he sure this time? Maybe he needs to go into the mountains of Peru and have a darkness retreat and have a wheatgrass enema or whatever the hell he does. It's foul. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers. Just go away. Go away. Please, just do me that favor and go away.
What's with these Green Bay quarterbacks, man? They're just so...
They overstay their welcome. They overstay their fucking welcome. At least Aaron Rodgers never sent anybody a dick pic that we know of.
We should try to get her on the show. That'd be great.
Oh God.
Get Sturger on the
Let's
show.
Let's see. Jen, if you're listening.
We got to DM her. We got to get her on the show.
If this is our impassioned plea to you, Jen, come on the show. We don't like Brett Favre either. We can talk about it all. We can all bare our souls about how much we don't like Brett Favre. But in all seriousness, no. It's just, no. Go away. Go away, Aaron. Just go away. It needed to be over 3 years ago. It needed to be over when you did your best Nicolas Cage Con Air, when you walked into Florham Park looking like Cameron Poe. Just stop. Just be done, because I'm done with Aaron Rodgers. Fair or foul number three, John Skipper saying that the NFL should be careful when engaging with streamers.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody has a chance to give a plug here, the David Samson and Pablo Torre had John Skipper, who is the former president of ESPN, on, and he discussed the prowess of the NFL and how, they are the kings when it comes to linear programming. They dictate the terms, they dictate the show, and the CBSs and the NBCs, and they need the NFL. Drives ratings, it's all they've got. The problem is now when you go to these streaming platforms, at some point, you're going to try to negotiate the deal with them, and they're not going to need you. Apple's still going to be selling iPhones. Netflix is still going to have their subscribers. Whether they have your product or not, it doesn't matter. So I think the problem is going to become if you keep raising your stakes, you keep increasing the amount of games you have, you keep raising the dollar amounts that these players are getting, you keep raising the salary cap, at some point it's going to plateau, okay? And you're not going to be able to be on Netflix and be on Apple, and linear TV will be gone. So you'll have to go with Joe Schmo's streaming service. And then I don't know how many people are actually going to watch it because there's just so many games. It's like, how many times this year did the Thursday game come on? You're like, you know what? I'm not watching this. I'm good. Or even this year with the international games, I can honestly say I did not wake up early for any international game. I'm not interested. To me, it's an exhibition. It's not even playing field for both teams. Don't care. And I'm going to be honest with you, the last 3 weeks of the season, I really didn't watch. It was just, I was tired. I was fatigued. You know, the benefit of the NFL was in the beginning, what? It was on Sundays and Mondays. Then we added in Thursdays. Then we added in Sunday mornings. Then we added in Wednesday games and Friday games and Saturday games. It's like, enough. You know, and this problem isn't going to be Roger Goodell to figure out. This is more of a problem going to be for the next commissioner. But you got to know that pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, and you're building yourself up. And I don't know if people are going to be able to cater to your demands when it comes to streaming services. So I'm going to tell everybody to go listen to what John Skipper had to say. And I'm going to say it's fair.
It's absolutely fair. How much is a Netflix subscription? How much is an Amazon Prime subscription? How much do you have to pay for NFL Plus? How much do you have to pay for Red Zone? How much do you have to pay for Peacock? Shit adds up. Shit adds up.
I just don't think anybody's going to have a Netflix service just because they can watch the NFL on Christmas Day.
No way.
Not happening.
They're watching whatever movie, whatever series is being streamed on there, and it's a luxury. It's a little add-on that the NFL is there. Amazon Prime, they have their own programming. They don't need the NFL. Peacock has its own programming. Doesn't need the NFL. You're in a situation Apple TV doesn't need the NFL. It's becoming a situation where it's a luxury. It is very much a luxury for these other brands that sports isn't their primary medium anyway, right? It's not their primary genre. ESPN, it's all them, right? Fox, that's a legacy. CBS is a legacy. NBC is a legacy. And but terrestrial TV as we know it, right? Cable TV as we know it, it's changing. It's absolutely changing as people's tastes change, as people's budgets change, as people's methods of viewership change. How many people actually sit down on their couch on Sunday and watch it? Or are you out and about at brunch or playing golf or doing some other shit and it's on your phone? We're in an evolving world. The NFL also needs to evolve. Skipper's absolutely right. Eventually, though, the bow's going to break. Eventually, you're going to ask for too much. You're going to spread too thin. And it's going to bite you in the ass. But I don't know who is going to catch the NFL, right? I don't know what sport is going to catch them. I don't know what league is going to catch them in terms of fans. I guess the NBA would probably be the closest. Probably. But even then, are you really watching a whole NBA game? Or are you just watching highlights? Are you just watching the 15-second clip?
Watching the NBA Cup.
Watch the NBA Cup. Yes, the reigning champ. The Knicks could be the first NBA Cup champ to hoist the Larry O'Brien. Let's go. Tie it all back together in a pretty bow. But Skipper's right. You know, you're whoring yourself out to companies that don't need you. And they're not going to treat you as if you're a priority. Your priority is CBS. I mean, what are you going to do? Watch the 6 NCIS spinoffs? No, you're going to watch the NBA. You're going to watch the NFL. Are you going to watch, you know, Next Level Chef on Fox? Apparently, it's a very good show. But I don't know. But no, you're going to watch the NFL on Fox. Are you going to, you know, what are you watching on NBC? I don't even know what NBC has. There you go. That's all you need to know. No, you're going to watch the NFL on NBC. Stick to what works for you. It's clearly where it was working fine before the oversaturation and the international markets and everything else took precedence. But beware. Just beware. Eventually, the bubble will burst.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the alleged superstar of the week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram at Fade Route Podcast because guess what? X has removed their poll. Good job, X. Who am I not paying around here? Elon, I'm paying you to supply me with polls. Now you have to go to Instagram and vote and vote and vote and vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
No.
That would be Pete Crow Armstrong. Yeah. Grabbing your junk. SMD.
He missed the ball.
He missed the ball. But he didn't miss those balls. He didn't miss those. Oh, PCA. Make this a PSA. Don't grab your junk in public. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got Cleveland Cavaliers guard James Harden. After getting swept by the New York Knicks and getting blown out in game 4, 130-93, James said the Cavs were the better team.
Stop it.
Cavs were the better team. In game 4, James Harden played 33 minutes, in which he went 2 for 8 with 12 points. He missed all 6 of his threes. He had 5 turnovers, and he was negative 19 on the floor.
Ooh.
James Harden, the Cavs are not the better team. James Harden, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number 2, I've got head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Kenny Atkinson. Heading into game 4, Kenny said, the data suggested the Cavs were the better team. Another one on dope. Despite being outscored by 77 points in 4 games, the Cavs are the better team. Kenny Atkinson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number 3, Jorge Soler. He plays for the Los Angeles Angels at Anaheim. In the second inning of a 1-0 game against the Tigers, he decided to jog from first to second when a ball was hit to second base, assuming a double play was going to be made. However, the second baseman dropped the ball. He watched the second baseman drop the ball, continued to jog, and was thrown out. there was just no urgency in Jorge Soler on this day. You would have been safe, asshole, if you just ran to the base. Jorge Soler, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
How the fuck was he the X Factor for the 2021 Braves? Asshole,
yeah.
Run! Bought it! He dropped the ball! Jesus Christ almighty. Oh, are you kidding me? God almighty. I'm going to start with Colorado Avalanche. Number 1 team in the West. Seemingly on cruise control. Got swept the fuck out of the playoffs by Torts and the Vegas Golden Knights. You got some splaining to do. Just straight up got some splaining to do. Vegas Golden Knights wouldn't have made the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, and now they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Colorado. Well done. Colorado Avalanche, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, the U.S. men's national team. Informing the players that did not make the 26-man roster via email. Coach Mauricio Pochettino emailed the players, sorry, you missed the cut. And then doubled down on that by saying he didn't want to cause confusion by calling the players. How does it cause confusion if you pick up the phone and say, hey, we cut you? Where's the confusion in that? Don't pack your bags. don't come. Do not come. You're out. Where's the ambiguity? There is none. That's just a chicken shit way of going about it. A guy like Diego Luna, who busted his ass for you for the past 2 years, right? A guy that's been on the forefront of the media campaign for the World Cup, for the men's national team. I'm just kidding. You're not on the team. What are we talking about here?
Suck.
Yeah, my bad. All because he doesn't play in Europe. Fuck off. U.S. men's national team, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Abner Uribe, pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. In the game against the Cardinals, got out of a jam, struck out the hitter for the third out, and then proceeds to look towards the Cardinal dugout and do some crotch chops like it was 1998. I got two words for you. Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we are witnessing that. Manager Pat Murphy was not pleased. And frankly, I understand why. Right? In light of the PCA incident, there are things you can do, and there are things you can't do, and there are things you shouldn't do. Crotch chop in the direction of the other team, who can go and just hit your best player and start some shit. You start it, they're going to finish it. Apparently, Uribe is an excitable fella. You might want to tone it down a little bit, son. Abner Uribe, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.